Unibet.
Episode 127. François Allaire, Torhütertrainer, Legende.
I think the next big stuff will be oversized goalie will stay on the ice more and more. I mean, when you get a guy 2 meters in the net, 2 meters tall in the net, I think, and you start to see that quietly, slowly, but I think it's going to be more and more. That's going to be a goalie coach who will decide to do that. They will keep their goalie on the ice all the time. No more on your skate. They're going to stay on the ice and they're going to follow the play on the ice. I think that's going to be the next stuff. More play will be play from the goalie on the ice instead of on his feet. So the guy will stay butterfly and gonna follow the puck butterfly and try to make the save. He's gonna go post, post, up challenge, come back to the post, everything on the ice. I think that's gonna be something who's gonna help the goalie.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Torhüter abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock.
Who better to follow Mike Keenan on Unibet Hockey O'Clock than the person sitting opposite of me right now? He is the brightest mind in goaltending coaching. He is revered around leagues, around goaltending excellence. He is a legend of the goaltending coaching business. He is no one else than François Allaire, and he's now on Unibet Hockey O'Clock. Coach Allaire, tremendously honored to talk to you about goaltending and everything that goes into it.
Hi, how are you? Very happy to be there.
I'm very well, and again, so graced or so happy that you are gracing the podcast just a week after Mike Keenan talked at length about his National Hockey League experiences. I guess you being a goaltending coach for more than three decades in the National Hockey League, you had a run-in or two with Iron Mike Keenan, I'd imagine?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know him personally, but I see him behind the bench a lot from different team. We never have in the same team. But I have the chance to be a goalie coach in the NHL for 32 years in four different teams. So, yes, I see him a lot. You know, he was a good coach for sure.
Well, try to educate our listeners here on goaltending in this episode. And I chose this point of time wisely because we just concluded league action here in Austria, but there's still tons of hockey to be played. We're in the midst of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's the advent of the Hockey World Championships. So no better time to talk a little bit about the state of goaltending, the evolution of goaltending. But first of all, I'd like to talk about what you're currently doing. You're part of the goaltending excellence department that the Florida Panthers created a couple of years ago. What is your job within that goaltending excellence department?
Well, basically my job is to be a consultant. You know, the department is run by Roberto Luongo, which is a former goaltender for NHL and a Hall of Fame guy. So he's in charge of the department. After that, we got two coaches, a goalie coach, one working with the Panthers, the big team, and one working in the farm team. And after that, we got different guy who help us to find different goaltending. So we got one guy working in Canada, one guy working in US, and one guy working in Europe, which is Jürgen Panker, one of the good goalie coach in Austria, and we're really happy to have him on board to help us in this huge territory in Europe. There is so many good goaltender now, and so many country to cover. So Jürgen is making a tremendous job for us to try to help us identify free agent or junior guy coming up for the draft. So basically, my job is to be a consultant. So if Roberto need some information, or he want me to evaluate some guy, or he want me to talk to different kid, that's my job to do that, you know, because I've done that before. I've been a coach before, so I got a little bit of experience with different teams. So that's my job right now. I enjoy to do that.
A little bit of experience after three decades of being a goaltender coach in the National Hockey League is probably one of the bigger understatements we ever had here on the podcast. But as you mentioned, the people on this goaltending excellence department, obviously all hockey fans who followed the NHL the past decades know Roberto Luongo. Your current goaltending coach for the Florida Panthers is Robbie Tallis, a person well-known in Austria as well, because he played a couple of games for the Red Bulls of Salzburg during their inaugural season here in Austria, a team that just won the championship for an eighth time in the Ice Hockey League. And of course, Jürgen Penka, well-known not only in Linz, but also outside of it. As you already elaborated to, goaltending and goalies, there's so many of them and they've gotten so good, and there's so many great goaltenders. How would you assess the current state of goaltending as you see it right now?
Right now, I think the goaltending right now have been the most powerful goaltending we've ever seen in the history of hockey. There is more athletes going in this position than ever. The size of the guy are outstanding. Now we got some guy who got almost 2 meters going as an athlete in the net, which wasn't the norm before. But now we got the oversized goalie coming up, and we got a super, super athlete too. So a guy like Seras in Nashville, which is a super athlete. He's not really tall, but he's a super athlete. And there is some guy really, really tall who, because of their size and because of the technique and the coaching, can play at that level as well. Maybe not with the same kind of skill, but size-wise and training-wise and stuff, they can really achieve a lot of stuff. So right now we got a, you know, we got a bunch of guys coming up in the business. You know, the difference is you can be a superstar being a goalie. So that's bring more athletes, not just the guy who can score goals or the big defenseman. Now you can be a really big athlete and being a goalie. So that's bring a lot of athletes. And now almost every team got a goalie coach. So the guy likes this position a little bit better because they got more support. Before that, you were all by yourself, and now you're supported by your team, by your crew. Like in the Florida Panthers, we got this department who can help us if there is a problem with the goalie. So the guy feel they got more support, and they feel they can be a stars. They can make good money living. So yes, that all those reasons makes, you know, this job more attractive for the kids.
A lot has happened in goaltending over the past 3, 4, 5 decades. I mean, a couple of goalies didn't even wear masks 50 years ago. And I want to take you back to the start of your career as a goaltending coach. And it's well known that you were the first ever goaltending coach for the Montreal Canadiens. We're talking about the mid-80s. Not a lot of teams paid close attention to the specific needs of a goaltending coach, and you became one for probably the most important franchise the National Hockey League still has. How did that all come about? Did you saw a need for a goaltending coach? Did you became a goaltending coach?
you know what? I start really young, thinking about coaching goalie. When I was a goalie myself, I never have any support, no coaching at all. Nothing was going on. And I said, it's impossible. You cannot train the goalie better than what we are right now. There is possibility. There is a ton of possibility. Probably we can do better in the gym. We can do better on video. We can do better on drills. We can do better as on meeting. So that was my thinking at that time. I was really young and I was a goalie all by myself. I said, there is something to do. So I go to physical education in university. And I was a goalie for the University of Sherbrooke. And since then, I was just thinking about, oh, I'm going to be a goalie coach. So when I finished my degree at university, I jumped coaching at 24. So that was pretty young as a coach. At that time, at early 80s, there were not a lot of stuff going on. So what I tried to do, I just tried to pick up all the information I could. I was traveling in Europe, going in Sweden, going in Germany, going in different places, tried to find out different books on goaltending. And I find a quite a lot of documentation, particularly in Czecho. Czecho, they were really, really good for writing everything and having a good book. And I started my own book. So I was 26. So 3 years after university, I wrote my first book. And at 29, I was with Montreal Canadiens. So that was my start as a goalie coach with the Montreal Canadiens at the age of 29. So it was really young. And at that time in the 80s, we were trying to, my perception was, we tried to change it, you know? I don't want to coach my guy like in the 70s. I want to coach my guy like in the 2000s. So I was in the 80s, but I say, okay, let's go forward and try to imagine what's going to happen in 20 years. And I've been lucky because I got a guy like Patrick Roy, who was my first goalie, was getting out of junior, coming with Montreal Canadiens, and he was ready to start different stuff. I didn't have a old guy. I have a new guy. I got a young kid who was ready to try different stuff. Sometimes it was working, sometimes not. But me and Patrick together, I think we make a good team because I was bringing some ideas and he was trying the ideas. And he said, no, that doesn't work. Yes, it works. We changed the equipment because the equipment wasn't done for butterfly goalies. It was for stand-up goalies. So it's completely different equipment. So it has been a really good decade with Montreal Canadiens, trying to change everything and try to move up this job, make it a little bit more actual than it used to be.
The list of goaltenders you worked with, it's the who is who of goaltending of the past couple of decades. You're trying to set up proper structures for coaching goaltenders. You're one of the pioneers of goaltending coaching. How did you try to set things up? What were kind of your priorities in trying to come up with that new branch that you created or helped create?
You know, a lot of people think we start with the butterfly movement. The first thing we really started to change was the way we were skating. So we started to skate differently than the other goalie. Instead of gliding on the ice, we started to push and stop. So every movement, every pass from the puck going from one side to the other side, we tried to push and stop instead of gliding from the other side and be off balance or being late. So in order to do that, we started to sharpen our skate a lot. And in the 80s, that was something brand new. Having a sharp skate for a goalie wasn't the norm. So we started to do that, and we started to push and stop and make sure our goalie were in front of the puck all the time instead of gliding towards a guy and being late. So that was the beginning. And after that, we just see when the goalie is there on time and is in front of the new shooters, that's really easy for him to make a butterfly movement and stop the puck. Before that, it was really, really tough because the goalie were late. So they were going for two pad slide, diving. It's more like a football. So it's like a football goaltending, trying to this, trying to that, trying this. But because we were skating way better than everybody else, we start to be waiting for the puck and we just decide to go butterfly, get the puck on the chest, get the puck on the pad. And that's helped us a lot. That's just the first thing we changed as a skating. We really, really push hard on that. We really make a lot of new drills on skating inside the crease of the goalie. And we become really, really good on that. And after that, it looks like everything else was getting easier and easier and easier. So that was the foundation of the movement, start with the skating, basically.
How beneficial was it to have one of the greatest goaltenders ever, one of the greatest ever to put on pads in Patrick Roy at your disposal?
Patrick was, he was a different athlete. Right off the bat, when I see him, I knew it. He came out of junior. I was in the American League with the fine team, Sherbrooke Canadian. And Patrick came at the end of season because his team junior, they didn't make the playoff. And after two or three days, he was stopping more shots than the other guy, the veteran guy. So I was talking to the coach, a head coach at that time, Pierre Kremer, and I said, Pierre, this guy is really good. He's better than our guy, but he's young. I know he's young, but he's better than the other guy. Everything to win the game. So you can't. He was really, really intelligent as an athlete. Really intelligent. What I mean by intelligent is he could try something in the morning and try it in the game at night. So not too many people can do that. You know, most of the guy, they likes to take their time. They don't like to change everything too fast. They resist sometime. They try to resist to the change. And Patrick was welcoming the change. He want to be better. So if something just get in his head and say, yeah, maybe I'm gonna get better if I do that. He was trying right away in the game. He wasn't shy to do that. And so for me, that was a sign of sport intelligence. And he was really, really sharp on that. He was really sharp to decide what was good, what was not good for him. So that's why this guy got success right away in pro level. You know, he win the Calder Cup the year after, he win the Stanley Cup after, the year after again, the Vezina Trophy. So he was going success over success. So I've been lucky to have this guy to start my career because I was a young coach, he was a young goalie, and I think we mixed together pretty good.
At what point did you know you had found something or developed something? You started working on different skating technique. You implemented the butterfly move where the stand-up goaltender was still the predominant goaltender at that time. Was there ever a point where you thought, Jesus, this is going to be revolutionary as regards to the position, or was it a process that slowly but steadily caught on with other teams?
Basically, I would say for me, this was in 93 where I work. You know, that was my season number 7 in the pro. I saw a lot of video. I was watching all the game we were playing. I was trying to analyze it. I was trying to make some stats, what kind of goal we gave up, what kind of save we make. And I would say in 93, I got a system on paper, a system. I really work to get this system done, and have all my principles write down. And I think everything was fixed to have something. I can explain it to the goalie, and I got a good answer all the time. And I started to teach him in the hockey school in different places, because 93 we win the cup in Montreal, and after that I got an invite in Switzerland. After that I got an invite in Sweden. I got an invite in Japan. I got an invite in different places, you know. And I proposed a system. So the system was different principle. How to stop the puck before the shot, you know, what to do before the shot, how to stop the puck with different movement during the shot, and what to do after the shot. So I got three different composers in my game, and I got a great, welcome from everybody. You know, it was not always easy in different country. Like, there is some resistance from the coach, from the country, but for the kids, from the kid, that was outstanding. You know, all the kids from Switzerland. I remember my first group of guys. I think four guys went to the NHL after that. After that, I went to Sweden. I got different guys who went to the NHL as well. For the coach, it was tough to accept, because that was really different than everybody else. But for the kids, they were hungry to have something new, to learn something new or listen something new. And in 93, I think that was a big change. And because I saw all the kids who were so enthusiastic about it, I say, wow, that's going to be good. I think that's going to be good. I think we're going to, all the goalie in the next 10 years or 20 years, everybody will go in that direction. And right now what we see, it's, you know, almost every country you watch a guy, everybody is going butterfly. Everybody's pushing well. Everybody's stopping the puck with their chest. So yeah, you know, that's been a long time. But 93 was, I think, the first year where I really say, okay, now I got a system and now I'm going to teach him.
Really appreciate that you not only educate me, but also my listeners, and broadening their hockey horizons. Incredible to get a glimpse of goaltending history, and obviously the year 1993 being one of the turning points. You're well known for your coaching clinics, for your camps that have been very well attended in the past. But when you try to conduct those camps around the mid-90s, and you mentioned the many countries that you visited and the many camps that you were brought on to, where maybe the doubts the biggest, or where did you have to work hardest to really try to make people believe in what you were teaching?
I would say that's funny, but in Quebec, where I start, I was the first guy. So it's just like, it's me. I was many, many clinics for coaches, many, many clinics. I was a guy you invite everywhere. I got conference almost every weekend with the coaches and stuff. So I never have to fight for something in Quebec. You know, the people were ready to listen to me. And beginning in the 80s, when I started in the pro, you know, I was the first guy, so the first goalie coach. So that's just kind of easy, because everybody was hungry to have new information. And I was providing this information with my books and with my clinics and with Montreal Canadiens on TV every night. So that was okay. But when I went to Switzerland, I was really surprised at the beginning to have some coach who said, no, it's cannot work. The goalie are always on the ice. It doesn't work. So we got some coach who come to see the kid, their kids on the ice, and pick up their kids and said, you're out. You're not coming at that camp. So you got to fight a couple of years to really get accepted, not by the kid. As I mentioned, the kid always been angry with me. But for the coaches, the guy who coached those guys, that was a big, big turnover for them. Now it's no more covering the angle. It's no more on your feet. Now it's on the ice, deep in the crease. That's what's really different. But what's make the difference in Switzerland, it's David Ebischer, who was the first guy, the first year was there. The David played with Colorado. David was a big fan of mine. And he decided to play that way perfectly. He really believed in that. Make the national team, junior, went to the world championship. And the first time I ever heard of Switzerland win a medal. So after that, everything turned around in Switzerland because now everybody was coming at that camp. It was a kind of the place to go. So we got this camp for more than 20 years, sold out every year. A lot of good goalies. I think there's 5 or 6 guys who went to the NHL out of that camp. So that was a lot of fun to be in Switzerland. Same thing happened in Sweden a little bit later. I would say it's 97 or late 90s. But at that time, the process was already engaged and the resistance wasn't that big. A couple of coach were resisting, but the way the kids and jump in that new kind of goaltending. That was way easier than Switzerland. Switzerland was the toughest one. Easiest one was Japan because the Japanese, they just listen and they do it. So they are good for that. They are good student. You can coach till 80 years old in Japan because the people are just listening.
Maybe a good piece of advice for aspiring coaches out there. If you don't want to deal with stubborn Swiss people, go to Japan and it makes life, coaching life a little easier. Coach, you've seen so many great goaltenders. You've been doing this for so many decades. And I know it's hard to single out maybe an individual or a couple of individuals, but when we look at the current state of goaltending, which goaltender or which goaltenders were most influential to get us where we are? Who were the guys really started making the position matter even more and making it even more relevant?
Well, for me, I think it's Patrick Roy. Montreal is a big market. In the 90s was a really big market because they were still on the wave of winning Stanley Cup at that time. And Patrick became a superstar. First time there was the most paid players was a goalie. And Patrick was on TV 3 or 4 times a week. New helmet with collar helmet, the new pads with collar. You know, instead of a brown and white mask and the brown pads, you got the blue, red, and white. So he was a guy who can win games by himself. New style, going on the ice all the time. I think everybody in Canada was watching Patrick. All the kids at that time. If you go in the room for a young kid, the little kid, 10 years old, said, "Hey, who wants to be a goalie today?" There was 10 hands were just raised. "I want to be the goalie today for the game," you know? So, yeah, that's just fabulous. And I think Patrick changed a lot of things, particularly in Quebec. After that, we got a wave of young kids who become NHL goalies. We got almost 50% of the goalie in the NHL came from Quebec because everybody was trying to follow Patrick. And that's bring a lot of young kid in this job. So Patrick have been a lot of influence on the history of goaltending. I think the modern stern of goaltending, Patrick have been really good. After that, there was a lot of guy, of course, who have been good, like Roberto Luongo or Jean-Sébastien Giguère, or a lot of guy have been tremendous. But Patrick was the spark. the guy who sparked the movement.
One interesting thing that you already mentioned, and when we talk about goalies, we know that the athletes are getting better. The technique is getting better. The stats to describe goaltending are getting better. The video analysis, it's getting better. But also the equipment that is getting better. How do you try to keep track of what's happening? Just the other day, I read an article about this new Bauer skate. It's called the Connect, and it's kind of a ski boot reimagined for hockey goaltending. If there's new stuff available and equipment is developing and evolving just like everything else, how do you keep track of it? How do you approach trying out new things with your goaltenders?
The equipment, when I start in my career, the equipment was for a stand-up goalie. So skate wasn't sharp. Pad was round. The pants were with an opening in between your legs. When you were going butterfly, there was an opening in between your legs. You got not too much protection on your shoulder and elbow. The rib was not covered. So how can you stop a puck with your upper body when you don't feel comfortable with it? So we have to change everything. The first thing was, as I mentioned, skating, sharpening your skate. That was a big thing. And after that, that's supposed to change the pants. That's the second equipment you change. We make it flat right in front of your legs. Instead of being round, we put it flat so the rebound stay in front of you. We cover the middle so no more 5-0 goals. And after that, we change the pad. The pad has to be, instead of being round, we take the pad square all the way down. Square for 1 meter on the ice, square. So the pad is flat on the ice, so the puck cannot get through. And after that, that's just the upper body. You know, if you want to go butterfly and stab the puck with your upper body, you need protection on your shoulder, you need protection in your elbow, you need to protect your ribs, you need to be comfortable and go in front of the shot. And stopping, because before the hitties, nobody stopped the puck with their chest. They were always catching with their hand. But now it's going in front of the slap shot, put your body and try to cover as much as you can. So you need to change it. So and now with the new material, it's possible to do that. There is new material, really, really light. You know, you can breathe. It's the new pads are so light, you know, the guy feel like they got nothing in their legs. You don't get heavier. The water is not going inside the pads. So the equipment, the material makes possibility to change a lot. The new skate now about Bauer and there is some new skate going out on the market. Now they are light. They are really good for skater. You can push on the ice. You can be, your mobility in the ice is way better with that. So there is some space again for equipment, but the equipment is so much better than used to be. It's incredible. The helmet protect your face. There's no more concussion going on. The company are doing a really good job.
As far as you can judge, which piece of equipment has undergone the biggest transformation? Is it the mask? Is it the pads? Is it the shoulder protection? What would it be in your estimation?
I would say that's the pads. The pads is it's the biggest piece of equipment you got. And now it's really light. Now it's covered on the ice. It's really flat on the ice. There is no puck to get through. You can go side to side on the ice with mobility on the ice with your pads. There is no obstruction. I think that's probably, and it's protect really well your legs. There is no injury anymore. Now, the pads have been outstanding progression since 30 years, for sure. After that, I would say the blocker side. The blocker side now, the protection for the finger. There was used to have a lot of injuries on the finger, a lot of broken finger. You don't see that anymore. Now it's the blocker. It's really solid, really well done. And it's really flat and can direct the puck pretty good, you know, and you can shoot. So yeah, the blocker is one of the pieces who progress the most in the equipment.
I think by now, listeners back home, they not only get the feel, they now know that you're one of the icons of the business, that you could be talking for hours and hours and hours of goaltending or about goaltending. Obviously, we don't have that much of your value time because you're still a busy man. But for all the people back home who now became interested in goaltending, the basics, the evolution, everything that goes into it, you wrote a book, and I think it's in its latest edition. It came out in 2009. It's called The Hockey Goalie's Complete Guide, an Essential Development Plan. So if people back home are interested in that book, please go out and buy it at your local bookstore. You won't regret it. There's one thing in preparation of this podcast that I always kept coming back to, and it's got to do with projecting a goaltender in his career. And I always look at Andrei Vasilevsky, Tampa Bay Lightning goaltender, obviously won 2 cups, he's been a Vezina Trophy winner, the gold standard for a couple of years in the league now. But during his draft year in 2012, he went 19th. If there would be a redraft of the 2012 NHL entry draft right now, he'd probably go number one. Why is it so hard, still so hard, with everything that we know, to project how a goaltender will fare?
First of all, there is a lot of goalie now. So before that, used to be 2 market, Canadian market, Quebec market. So you could have a good scouting in those 2 places and have goaltending in the NHL. But now hockey is global. Hockey is getting global. And there is so much goaltending available now. You got, you know, the 2 best guy of Slovakia, the 2 best guy of Czechia, the 2 best guy in Austria, the 2 best guy in Finland, in Sweden, in Switzerland, in Russia. Canadian, U.S. now is providing goalie in the NHL. So because of the hockey is global, and because there is a lot of goalies in any country, some guy don't have the chance to be in the national team. So when you don't see the guy in the national team, that doesn't mean he's no good. That just means this guy, at this point of his life, at 17 or 18 years old, he's not ready, or he's a number 3 guy. He's a number 3 guy in the country, so you don't see him in the world championship or a different tournament. But this guy is maybe better than number 2 and number 1. But because a guy is growing up, so we got some guy or is 6'4", 6'7". They're growing up at 17. They are not really good because they grew up too much. They don't have any power in their legs, and they just fly by, and you don't see him in the world championship. But 3 or 4 years after, he might be better than the guy who was there at the world championship. So that's why there is still a lot of mistake. For forward and defensemen, everybody is growing up at the same time, and there is many, many spots. You know, you got 6, 7 defensemen, you got 12, 15, the 12 or 15 best forwards in the country, so you don't miss too much. Defensemen, you got 6, 7, 8 defensemen, so you don't miss too much. But goalie, you just take 2. So maybe number 3, number 4, number 5 are good, but you don't see them. So after that, you have to, after the draft, you have to get back in the rink and see those guys who you missed when there was their year draft. You missed them, and now they're really good. That's why there is so much free agent going in the NHL as a goalie. There's a lot of free agent. The guy who passed, nobody see them, and hell of a son, everybody say, well, he's better than everybody else. Let's sign him for the NHL contract because the guy is good, but nobody saw him when he was 17, 18.
And just this year's Florida Panthers are perfect example for it with Alex Lyon helping you onto hopefully an extended playoff run, as he's been a journeyman before, and now he's making the best of the chance that he got. But when it comes to evaluating goalie talent, what is the first kind of trait that you're always looking for? Is it the skating? Is it the physique? What is it that stands out for you first, or has to stand out for you first?
Well, but that's a combination of stuff we're looking for. First of all, if you're looking for NHL, you need a size. For one reason, there is 82 games plus 2 months of playoff. So that's mean you can finish with over than 100 games. At that level, you need somebody with a kind of energy. You need somebody who got some size, because it's really, really tough physically. Pretty tough physically, particularly the playoff where you play every 2 second night and you have to be good and there is overtime and stuff. So that's number one. Second thing, I think we take a look a lot on the glove, catching glove. If you're good to catch a glove with your hands and you got, you know, kind of flash in your hand, that's mean you're a good athlete. That's mean your coordination with your heights is good. So a guy with a good glove, it's always a winner, because that's mean this guy is an athlete. And after that, for sure, athleticism. Athleticism is really important. Is the guy is an athlete. You can see him when he's skating. He's going down. He's going up. There is a rebound. He can carry his body from one side to the other side. So if the guy is a good athlete, you can see it. And that's helped a lot in this business, because now the combination, offensive combination from the other team are getting tougher and tougher. The guy passed the puck 1, 2, 3 times before the shot, instead of coming on the side and just shooting like used to be. Now there is 1 pass, 2 pass, 3 pass, bang, it's a goal. So the goalie has to be good outlet to move and follow the puck. So though, I think those three things, if you can have a guy who got those quality, you got a chance to make something with him.
The funny thing is, and it's probably the case in all of sports, it's always a back and forth between offense and defense. If we look at the NFL, it's now a passing league. It used to be a league run by the defenses. Same with the National Hockey League. We had the scoring prowess of the 80s. We had the dead puck era. We had a solid decade, according to the Unibet stats, between the early 2000s and it probably stretched to 17-18, where fewer than 6 goals were scored per NHL game. That has gone up the past couple of years. So scoring is not at an all-time high, but scoring keeps increasing. And one funny theory I found about that, and Barry Trotz kind of backed it, because goaltenders were getting so good, forwards and scorers had to become even better to score more often. How would your assessment on that recent scoring increase be? Is that the case, or has goaltending maybe dipped in quality?
There's a couple of factors. First of all, the NHL reduced the size of the equipment of the goaltending. So there is no regulation now. So the pad has to be 10 inches instead of 12. So, you know, they change. They really adjust the size of the equipment to the body of the guy. So that was a good thing, I think. The other thing, they changed the rules. So now the rules, no more cross check in front of the net, no more hooking. Now the guy, you got the puck, you have to, if the guy take advantage of you as a defenseman, they have to let the guy go. You cannot take the guy with your stick and carry the guy with you. You cannot do that anymore. So there is the rules who provide offense. And now there is a new trend. Now, you know, there is less fights in the NHL. The toughness is going down more. Now it's more skater. The skater are the big trade. And so the young, the small forwards, the small defensemen who are really, really good, really quick, really good with their hands and good scorer. Now they can play in the NHL. They couldn't play before. They were too small. They were too, now they can play because of the regulation and the game is getting faster. It's not going tougher. It's going faster. So now a brand new athlete is coming in the NHL. Faster guy, skill guy. So everything together, that's bringing a little bit more of offense. But at the same time, I don't think the goalie are not that good. The goalie are even better. If the goalie will be the goalie of 20 years ago, they couldn't survive today because it's really too quick. There is too much passes and stuff. The guy today are the best ever.
Coach, I got a couple more questions to round out this conversation, but first we want to hear from our good friends at Unibet. They have a special offer for all new customers. It's a 400% welcome bonus. Just use the promo code HOCKEY-BONUS while putting 10 euros into your new account for the first time and receive 40 euros for free. More details, as always, in the show notes of this podcast. And it is, of course, Unibet by players for players. If we look at goaltending and how it's evolved over the past couple of years and maybe decades, where do you think the next big evolution is going to happen? Have we already reached the peak of goaltending, or is there an area where you think there's still much room for improvement?
Well, maybe I will surprise you, but I think the next big stuff will be oversized goalie will stay on the ice more and more. I mean, when you get a guy 2 meters in the net, 2 meters tall in the net, I think, and you start to see that quietly, slowly, but I think it's going to be more and more. That's going to be a goalie coach who will decide to do that. They will keep their goalie on the ice all the time, no more on your skate. They're going to stay on the ice and they're going to follow the play on the ice. I think that's going to be the next stuff. More play will be play from the goalie on the ice instead of on his feet. So the guy will stay butterfly and going to follow the puck butterfly and try to make the save. He's going to go post, up challenge, come back to the post, everything on the ice. I think that's going to be something who's going to help the goalie. Right now, there is too much goal who gets scored in between two movements. When the goalie's butterfly, get up, get scored. The transition in between the movement makes sometimes the goalie is not ready for the save. If you stay on the ice and you just stay on the ice and just follow the play and you can, you know, there is no more transition in between the movement. Probably you're going to stop a lot of shot per screen to shot 5-0 in between your legs. But there will be a coach who's going to have to propose that, and there will be an athlete who is ready to try that on the game. So maybe it's going to be for later on.
I'm sure people listening, or a couple of people out there listening, are goaltenders or want to get into coaching goaltenders. And you, with your vast experience of coaching goalies and being in the business for such a long time and being highly successful, what's the one piece of advice that maybe you'd give yourself now as a 20-year-old, or that you pass on to an aspiring goaltending coach?
For a coach or a goalie?
For a coach.
For a coach. Well, I think, first of all, you have to love the game. So that's the first thing, because there is, it's so much stuff possible when you coach. You know, I was coaching, I was 24 hours a day thinking about what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, what kind of thing I can help my goalie to progress. But you have to love it. If you love it, that's a good point. You have to be a student of the game and don't try to replicate what's happening today. Try to see what's going to happen in the future. I think that's the only way to get faster and further. Try to imagine something new, something you can bring to your goalie who's going to help him to get a better goalie. Don't stay in the past. Go in the future. If you go in the future, you're going to be the guy who brings something new in the business. If you bring something new in the business, the people will listen to you and will try to do that. And probably you're going to have a good life out of it.
As we record this, we're in the middle of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. To me, the greatest tournament in all of sports. Now, you as a goaltender, coach, and obviously consultant, advisor to the Goalie Excellence Department in Florida, are there particular goalies that you enjoy watching right now? Are you just trying to enjoy the game, or is the goalie coach within you currently assessing what's happening? How do you follow the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I watch all the game for sure. I watch our goalie, I watch the other goalie. I try to compare. You know, we're playing right now. We're playing Boston, which is the best defensive team in the league. I watch our goalie, Oldmark, who got a tremendous season. So we just try to compare with this guy and see what's the difference in between our guy and this guy. What is going in the game? What kind of goal he's giving up? What kind of goal we gave up? And after the game, we talk a little bit about that. But right now, the season is over. Now it's playoff. That's mean it's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. If we play good enough and beat this team, we got another 2 weeks playoff round. So it's a really short term. It's a battle in between two guys, and we just try to see at the end of this round, we will see. Is our guy was good enough or not good enough to beat this guy? So it's a comparison. It's a kind of we're studying what's going on. Do we have to improve something? Do we have to get better in certain department and see how it goes?
And we're about to find out in a hopefully great and long series. I wouldn't mind a game seven. Obviously, you'd have to sweat that one out. Coach Allaire, thank you so much for educating me and my listeners about goaltending, the evolution and its history. There's so much more to talk about goaltending and everything that goes into it. Hopefully, I'll have you back at some point here and on Unibet Hockey O'Clock. But so thankful for the extensive time that you already took. Wishing you all the best.
Hey, thank you very much. It was a lot of fun, and I wish you Austrian hockey to develop and get better. They just win the world championship for the 18 years old, so that's great. They're going to be back in the first division, and hopefully one day we will see them battle with Canada and U.S. for the gold medal.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock.